Welcome back, everybody, to the Axis of Easy podcast, the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And this week, Len, Canada agrees to TikTok's new safeguards. Do you feel safe? I know I don't feel safe. We'll talk about that. Russian government is spying on hackers, of course, and they're trying to get Signal and WhatsApp access. I mean, isn't everyone doing that? That's pretty trendy these days. One AI misstep will ruin years of data for you. And there's some other vulnerabilities we want to talk about on the Chrome side of things. All that and more this week on Axis of Easy.
It's time for the Axis of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Buddy, what's going on? Good to see you. Welcome to another fantastic afternoon episode here. I know we're
on vacation.
Amazing.
Yeah, Carney is going to be going to Norway and Italy.
You going with him? Are you going
to? I'd love to go. He said, this is no joke, after all his overseas trips, he's taking a vacation.
Needs a break.
He's going to Norway and to Italy for some time.
Now, you know, if you want to tag along on one of these trips, all you have to do is cross the floor and he'll take you.
Yeah,
you get the Genaroo package if you
price. I'll do that. I don't mind. I'll wear red. Free trip.
Yeah,
screw that. I'll do anything.
Let's do the quote of the week from last week. Few men. Oh, that's this week's quote. Sorry, everyone. Editor, cut that out. The last week's quote: the only clue to what man can do is what man has done. That was by R.G. Collingwood. No one got it. So, I guess double or nothing this week. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Mark. This week's quote: few men have virtue to withstand the highest bidder. God, is that ever true? If you know who that was by, put it in the comment section. Don't forget, you can only look on the back of your ill-gotten dollar bills for the answer. No Googling, no searching. And your next round of renewals, if you get it right, and you get it right first, is on Easy DNS. No charge. So, TikTok. Every week, it seems like we could talk about TikTok, though we don't, obviously. But this one, interesting because it's got a little bit of horsepower behind it. And I don't think a lot of people are buying what is being sold to them. But you tell me if you think I'm wrong.
Wow. Canada, like, this TikTok story is funny because they're doing a major U-turn here, right? Like, they've been threatening to kick out the corporate offices out of Canada, right? And that's been the discussion for some time. But they played a game of chicken and Canada blinked. They flinched, right? And Reuters was saying that Industry Minister Melanie Joly signed off on a new deal with TikTok and allowing them to stick around and keeping their corporate offices here. Like, that's a complete 180 from back in November of
last
year.
Huge 180.
Yeah. They wanted to, were telling them, to, you know, wind up your offices, your corporate offices in Toronto and Vancouver over national security concerns. But they were just getting rid or telling them to mothball their corporate offices. They weren't going to stop anybody from using the app because, let's be perfectly honest, that would be alienating a lot of people out there that use TikTok and love it. And those people do vote. So
you know what's crazy? I was thinking about this the other day, and I want to say it before you move on. Mm-hmm. There is an interesting piece of data out there, I'm sure, that I can't confirm, but I see it anecdotally, and I'm betting you see it and people listening and watching see this too. A lot of people think about TikTok and alienating kids from the sort of like party. I know you're shaking your head. I don't think that's the case. I think it's actually a lot of older people who would be pissed if you got rid of TikTok.
100%. A lot of people, young and old, they love to swipe up. Is it for that?
I've never had TikTok. I have no idea.
But they like that also for YouTube Shorts, for Instagram Reels, and for all these things. It's just a quick way to digest content. And it's shaping the way we view things. And I mean, I could go into the weeds, but I won't. But yeah, with respect to this story, the federal court essentially told the government that this type of closing of the offices shouldn't be happening. And they told them that in January. So they switched their position from shutting it down to like the corporate offices to, you know, let's sign an agreement. And there's now some legally binding undertakings that were signed between TikTok and Canada. And they say there will be some security gateways and privacy enhancing tech is going to be designed to make sure that Canadian user data will not filter its way back to China. Okay, let's see if that happens. And they also say, on top of this, There's going to be some protection of minors and a promise to let an independent third party auditor peek under what's going on and make sure everything is done properly. Let's see what happens with that. But with all this being said, remember they had this 180. What do we have just not too long ago? We had the for the first time in, what is it, a decade or so, a prime minister went to travel to China
and
meet with Xi. This hasn't happened, like I said, for some time. I think a lot of this is, this move here, is potentially a way to appease Chinese authorities, because who knows, there may be some agreements coming up. And
100%.
This could be just, you know, we give this, you give us something back, strategic move. Let's see. Let's see if this is just trying to make relations better with China. That's the camp, I believe, but whatever. They can spin however they want.
I have an absolutely banger stat for you about this nonsense about protecting kids' data, blah, blah, blah. Do you know how often a kid in Canada is banned from TikTok for being underage?
In terms of maybe like zero times a week?
Every minute of the day.
How does a kid get banned every minute of every day?
From that? That's what the privacy commissioner says. Every minute of every day, there's a kid banned from using TikTok for being
underage. Hold on. I'm going to do the math on this really quick. It's
500,000 a year. 500,000 a year. Yeah,
that's impossible. If you have 500,000 kids a year banned,
the question is, are they making the new account? That's the only thing I can think of. They're trying to circumvent the ban somehow, right? So, interesting data point. It's from the Office of the Privacy Commissioner. I don't know, you know, the sort of the ins and outs of that stat, but it's interesting. You brought up the trade deal with Beijing. Do you know what the gap was between Carney's visit and quote unquote trade agreement and this, blinking? In the TikTok negotiation, how many days? It's 5 days, not even 2 weeks. 5 days.
I took the over. I'm off.
And one of them was on. One of them, he was on the plane back, probably. So like that's, it's pretty crazy how fast that happened. We are the only now Five Eyes nation not doing data localization on TikTok. How's that make you feel? It has all the teeth of the EU agreement, right? The EU has all these different rules about kids' data and data in general. But none of the teeth, no fines, no data localization, no nothing. We got absolutely played, friend of the show and friend of CBP and Internet Society of Canada board member Michael Geist. Let me quote here, Len. Essentially, Canada caved. Like you can't make it up, man. I don't know what else to say about this except that, you know, if you look at TikTok's history of data collection, we already know that the Chinese use a totally different algorithm for their TikTok geared toward kids than we get here. I don't know what else to say. We got absolutely played, but this is apparently our closest strategic partner. I mean, like what's going on? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills here.
From a few months ago, they're running election interference. They have police stations in our jurisdiction.
Yeah. Yeah,
they are manipulating or trying to strong arm.
Pretty soon, MPs. The only property rights that'll supersede that of the Aboriginals will be the Chinese. I think that's the direction we're heading here, right?
So I'm just gonna have to keep my elbows up, baby.
I don't know,
that's
man.
One. That's the second.
I don't
one.
Know. I don't know. It's interesting too, like the physical offices thing. Like that's not really I don't care about that. Does anyone care about that? We care about data, do we not? I guess maybe Brookfield cares
we
about
care about
maybe Brookfield cares about
maintaining power, maintaining power and kicking the can down the road.
Make love sure that. Love that for us. Yeah, I love that for us.
Okay, let's move on to the Signal and WhatsApp users that the Russian hackers are getting involved, because not that Signal has a loophole in it. It's people are the loophole, and I'll explain. Dutch intelligence, they were saying that there is a large-scale global cyber campaign going on, and the people behind this are Russian state actors. And they say that they are targeting high-level people like government officials, military personnel, and that's very important these days given what's going on, and also journalists. Again, that is very important these days because you could try to sway people's opinions. And how are they doing this? They're compromising their WhatsApp and their Signal accounts. Now the WhatsApp, that's, you could kind of understand Signal, like what the heck is going on. They're saying they're using social engineering to try to get into these apps or access to them.
Yep.
And they're posing as quote-unquote Signal support which there is none, by the way.
Or if you lose your signal account, there's no one to email. There's
nobody there. Or security chatbots, and they send these unsolicited messages out to the people, and they're claiming that suspicious activity has been detected in the accounts, and they trick them to providing the SMS or the verification codes to get into the accounts. But also, they're able to get in by actively checking out communications. So for Signal, for example, and I have used this, you could use the QR code to have your computer link to your phone's device.
Yes, sir.
And look at the Signal messages. So by providing that QR code, you're essentially giving them access to live communications. And once they have that, you'll have no idea that they're using that unless you go to your phone and you see what's been linked to it, but you probably don't have the technical knowledge to look at that. So you're essentially giving them unfettered access to every Signal message you have and everybody you're talking to. Once you have one weak link, it's all broken. Somebody on the other end might think, oh, we're safe, we're using a proper method of sending messages like Signal. But in reality, if one person in that chat group or on the other end in the chat has their system compromised, it's done for everybody. So you got to be careful out there. Make sure you don't give up your information to anything. Don't give access to anybody. Signal support, you got to be kidding me. Like, that's weak sauce, but it works.
Yeah, it works on idiots for sure. And there's plenty of them out there. You know, it's interesting if you think about the way that this story would have been reported on only 6 months ago, 7 months ago. You may recall that in December of, actually, I guess it was more than a year ago now, 2024, just after Trump won the election. Was it that long? I forget now. It was 2025.
He won in November 2024.
I know, but it was 2025 when he took over. Remember there was a reporter added to a Signal chat where they were talking about striking military targets? You remember that?
I vaguely remember this.
Yeah, so the administration was using Signal, and it was their official recommendation, I think, in 2025 to use Signal for encrypted communication at the government level. Now, I don't know if it was the retail version that you and I have or something that they've worked on internally, but same vulnerabilities exist. Those QR codes, people love those things. They're everywhere. We've been conditioned to love them through COVID. Why? Everywhere you go, no one has a menu anymore. You're ordering your food on a QR code. When you scan something, you know, when you're watching something on Amazon Prime, there's a QR code that comes up for product placement. You scan it with your phone.
Really?
You do the app. Oh, hell yeah, man. They got you all over the place with these things. When you sign in to, I just bought a PlayStation Pro. So my PS5, buddy, I think everyone should be buying as much retail consumer hardware as they can. That's a story for another day. But anyway, when you sign into your PlayStation account, it's a QR code on your phone, links to your phone app, and does the sign in automatically. Same thing with stuff like pass keys on Windows, all QR code. Everyone is doing this stuff without thinking now. And so if you find somebody who's easy to compromise on the human side, the likelihood that they're going to have a flag raised by the QR code is basically zero. Everyone's doing it everywhere. It's constant now, right? So other thing I'll just note, that the Five Eyes, like you said, are all aligned on this, but somehow Canada remains unaligned on TikTok. So we will see how that goes. By the way, Telegram, which people talk a lot about in terms of like these encrypted apps, not here. Do you know that a lot of people online, especially in the Bitcoin space, basically say Telegram is not encrypted? It's easy to get to. It's like it's barely a messaging app worth your time.
It's only encrypted, the way I understand it. It's only encrypted when you do message from person to person. When you're in a group setting, it's not encrypted. That's the way I understand it.
Okay.
But I mean, anybody could prove me wrong. I am not going to stand on this hill.
No, I mean either. I'm just saying what I've heard. Yep, just saying what I've heard.
So let's talk about this vibe coding stuff that's been going on a lot these days. And Claude, man, it's got some interesting story about this guy, Alexei Grigorev. And he's the developer. And the dude was trying to migrate his website to share infrastructure with a course platform called datatalks.club. So he had two different entities. He wanted it to have the information shared. So Claude was advising that to keep the environments separate to avoid any data loss or maybe some sort of cross-pollination or something along those lines. But Buddy decided to forego that, going to go ahead, grant permissions to execute commands to give it to Claude. And what resulted was, well, there was a missing state file. And because Claude lacked this file, which was required, and it was an environmental map that digitally mapped out the entire environment that he created, so he decided to stop the process midway, and he provided a state file. And Claude did his thing. It recreated the environment. But what did Claude do? It says that the infrastructure was a mess and needed to be cleared, and it issued a destroy command, and gone, nuked 2.5 years worth of records. That's including student homework, leaderboards. And not only that, he had also the safety net that he built up, those automated database snapshots, gone as well. And so there we go. So if you're going to give any access to anything like Claude, you got to be careful, man, because these things, once they have access to something, they could do whatever they want. This guy, unfortunately, lost 2.5 years worth of work. But you know what? Make this as a something that you can learn from him. Don't screw up like him, man. Be a little more diligent.
I'm not going to touch on this story any more than you did, because this is a story that's a good sort of tip of the iceberg. But there's way more stuff happening in the Mag 7 related to vibe coding than I think
anyone
realizes, right? So I don't know if you saw this story from a few days ago.
Was it Amazon?
I have it up on my screen. I'm not going to share the screen, but maybe I'll put it in overlay and post. They're taking a 90-day break from any AI coding, it looks like, and doing a code review, because they just keep having these massive outages on their internal platforms. You can't trust these things. I have Claude. I have Cowork on this computer. This is my main machine. It has Cowork. It has access to some folders on this machine. I use it so sparingly. And when I use it, I don't let the thing run wild by giving it blanket permissions, which is a problem during this type of incident. There's this term called consent fatigue, right? Which people view as a UX issue, like a friction point, but it's meant to protect the average person. This guy is not the average person. It's hard for me to believe that he just clicked through some of this stuff and either gave blanket approval or misfired on an approval that led to a huge data destruction event in his business life. But it is, I will admit, it is annoying to have Claude like ask over and over again, do certain things. And in my view, it at least a little bit defeats the purpose, because that thing is supposed to work agentically, as the saying goes, or as the terminology demands us to, demands us to use this kind of parlance. But you're really approving everything along the way, right? There's good and bad there. I would suggest to people that if you're not sure that what you're doing is going to be helped or improved by some, measure it's got to be commensurate with the measure of risk you're taking, giving this thing access to all your data, all your files, and all your processes. Because it seems to me like the one thing that repeats in these stories about AI and the issues with AI is that no one really understands the risks they're taking or downplays the risks they're taking and then gets burned on the back end because there's no match there. And I just think people are, our friend Fundamentals from the Rock Paper Bitcoin podcast today said to me on Twitter that we're forgetting actual intelligence now in a lot of the things we're doing with AI. And this is a good example of that. Think about all the time you've spent doing this, building this database and snapshots. Yeah,
well, access.
Yeah,
take some backups.
He did. And still.
Put it in an offline, in a virtual machine that cannot be touched.
Air-gapped backups?
100%. Using a virtual machine that is not connected to the internet, like you connect it temporarily, then disconnect it. Like you got to find a way to just back things up and do it the right way. This guy, clearly he knew his stuff, but he was just haphazard with his approach of security. So he learned. We all learned as a result.
He learned all right.
He's got to start from scratch. And one more learning experience is, friends don't let friends use Chrome because there was a
vulnerability. We got to print the shirts. We need Mark and EasyDNS to pay for some shirts. Friends don't let friends use Chrome.
Mm-hmm. I would never recommend anybody to use it. And there was a vulnerability that it bypasses traditional security boundaries because Gemini Live is now included. There's a side panel in Google Chrome. And that opens up the doors to a whole bunch of things, a whole bunch of new permissions that could be granted. And the panel itself is a trusted privilege component of the browser. Like right away, you know where this is going.
Yeah.
The problem that people want, they want everything easier and done quicker. So with this new Gemini live.
Do they want that, or do they just want to be able to say, I'm using AI now to do something? Okay.
No, I don't think they care about just saying I'm using it. I think if somebody could present a easier way of doing things and without thinking what are the consequences of that, they'll be happy to take it. And that's why they roll this stuff out. Just it's more and more. Anyways, they want to just automate tasks, summarize stuff. Do it yourself. Like, come on, man. But what it does, it opens the doors to attackers, because like I said, this has high level privileges or low level privileges. And when activated, it could also get your camera, your microphone, take screenshots, and even look through your local file system and see what you have over there. And it's all without prompting a secondary prompt that you have to say, do you want to give it permission? It just does it. And so Google, to their credit, too bad they released this product to begin with, Chrome, but either way, to their credit, they patched this thing in January 2026. So if you are running the latest version of Chrome, you're safe. But if you're not, you could be pretty much in trouble.
All the same, it's the exact same API that ad blockers use, by the way.
Yes.
So like you, again, lazy. I'm going to read you a few stats here or a few data points, because we have a list here that I've put together of, as you mentioned, AI integrations just wreaking havoc on some of these. Is it fair to call Chrome a legacy product? Probably, right? It's pre-AI. I think anything pre-AI these days is a legacy product. Microsoft Copilot reprompt attack from January 26. That was a single-click URL could silently steal personal data from Copilot sessions. Microsoft 365 Copilot Echo leak. That was a zero-click attack on an AI agent. Perplexity also has its own browser, the Comet browser, where hidden instructions can hijack the AI. And now this one, the malicious Chrome extension. So across platforms, across, what do you call them? I guess LLMs. It's the same problem over and over again. And again, like the reason I asked if you think it's because people just want to be able to say they're using AI, I'm not sure the AI in the browser does that much for you, you know?
No, it may not give you, but if it summarizes a web page, if it summarizes an email, and people will say, you know what, this is a nice to have, but they're not thinking about what are the consequences of having
ever. Yeah.
This is a great thing to have. All right.
Tale as old as time, man, for sure.
There you go. Yep. I think that's it, Joey. No other stories to.
That's it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like the video, all that stuff. Some weeks we get 100 plays, other weeks we get 4,000 plays. I have no idea why that is. We're trying to figure it out. But if you're on YouTube, subscription and a like means a lot to us and helps the channel. You can hear more from Len and I on the channel or in whatever podcast app you like. You can subscribe to the podcast there, Access of Easy, or you can visit accessofeasy.com to hear all the stories from this week and get all the latest and greatest in data breaching and overreaching. Until next week, my friends, take care of yourselves.
Take care.